So this is an unusual Tuesday night because typically on a prayer meeting night, we try to bring a thought so that we could, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. So we bring a thought so that we could respond to God and pray and seek the Lord. Tonight is a little bit different because this is sort of more of a formal Sunday teaching, but we're making plenty of room for us to also seek the Lord and perhaps even intercede for the rest of the body. But we're continuing on the Like a Tree series, and I think tonight's topic lends itself towards a prayer meeting. But let's do what we've been doing. Let's start with Psalm 1. We're going to read Psalm 1 together. I hope you're memorizing it. I'm getting little videos from kids who are learning, and they're memorizing Psalm 1. And, you know, I've had this in my head, but I was talking to someone the other day, and it just kind of, I rattled it off, and it was just so good to have. There's something powerful when the Word of God just flows out of you. So take the time to memorize God's word. Amen. And this is a great place to start. But let's read this together. Are you ready? Here we go. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Come on, somebody say amen to the word of God. Hallelujah. And so be it, Lord. May that be, make us like trees. You know, make us like trees, like fruitful Psalm 1 trees. We've done a number of different messages about the below ground life. We keep talking about your journey of blessing begins below ground, and we are about to transition into above ground starting on this Sunday. But today's message is speaking to an example that Jesus uses, and it's sort of an above ground example, but spiritually speaking, it actually applies to a great deal of our private life. And so I'm going to read to you about a very necessary, everybody say necessary. There is a necessary interaction that needs to take place between us and the Father. Many of them, but this one in particular as it relates to you and I becoming a strong and healthy, privately healthy, publicly fruitful tree, Psalm 1 tree. This is a very necessary interaction that has to take place. So we're going to jump now to John chapter 15. And John chapter 15 says this, I am the true vine, this is Jesus speaking, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. And the reason that he prunes is so that it will be even more fruitful. This is the necessary interaction that Jesus is speaking to us about. In verse 3, it says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And it's important that this necessary interaction is meant to grow us and to make us even more fruitful. But God does this to those who belong to him. Okay? We're talking about people that belong to the Lord. Now, I want to jump down further on in this passage in John chapter 15 because there's a very important connection between this very necessary interaction In John 15:15 now, like jumping down some verses, here's what he says. He says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. How many are grateful to be a friend of God tonight? Come on, how many would say amen to that? And he said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and, two words, everyone, bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. So here Jesus begins this conversation by saying, look, I'm the true vine, but you are the branches. You are an extension of me. How many want to be an extension of Jesus? Amen. But if you're going to be an extension of me, there's a necessary interaction that takes place. I'm the vine. My Father is the gardener. And what the gardener does, what our Father does, is he cuts off branches that bear no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Now, this is not a popular topic for a lot of people, but I'm going to tell you something. It is very, very important that God prunes your life. Here's why. In the same way that every vine, okay, needs maintenance, it needs careful attention to keep it healthy, so does every Christian. How many know we need some maintenance? We need upkeep. And the title of the message today is Your Upkeep. How does God keep us maintained? How does he keep us fresh and healthy? Well, the Bible tells us that the Father prunes us. And then directly related to the pruning process is what we're going to do at the end of this service. Directly related to that, part of the pruning process includes repentance and forgiveness. You'll see what I mean by that in a couple of moments. But if you really want to grow in God, you have to trust the Lord enough to allow him to prune you. You got to let him prune. You got to let him cut things away. So what is pruning? Okay, pruning is God cutting away things that are growing out of us that do three things. Number one, God prunes things that robs our energy. Number two, God cuts away things that hinder our fruitfulness. And number three, he also cuts away things that will diminish our impact. Now, in order to fully understand this, and you know what, let me just pray. I usually, since we're in a prayer meeting on Tuesdays, I usually don't pray before I speak because we've been praying. But I want to pray right now, especially for people who are watching online. And I want to pray that God would make this a deep moment tonight. I've been praying about this all day. And we're going to take communion today. And I want to talk real. This is a sober message. So let me pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I believe it's providential that we're doing a Sunday sermon on a Tuesday night. We're here to seek you. We're here to hear from you. God, and I pray, Father, that you would do deep work in our lives tonight. Because, Lord, before the foundations of the earth, you predestined that we would bear fruit and fruit that would last. But Lord, it's impossible for us to become the fruitful people without you putting your loving, your gentle hands, your scissors to our lives. And so God, I pray, not just for everyone who's here, but God, I pray for our online family. God, give us the faith, give us the trust in our Heavenly Father. Lord, that we wouldn't resist, that we wouldn't run, but that, Lord, we would just open ourselves up to your holy scissors, your clippers. We say, have your way, because we want to bear fruit that will last. So bless this word, bless our time, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Okay, now remember, in John chapter 15, and we had an illustration early on, right, where I brought a plant out and I cut it, and Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so he's telling us, stay attached to me. But now this is reversed. This is not us disconnecting. Sometimes God is saying, I need to cut some things, and I want to explain kind of what is really going on when God is cutting things away. We got this quote directly from a master vine dresser or vineyard manager. Here's what he said. He said, if you don't prune, you're left with a vine, listen to this, that is stressed out and makes bad fruit. Okay, so pruning is necessary because the vine gets stressed out. And sometimes we don't want God to cut things away, but those are the very things that are stressing us out and depleting our ability to bear real fruit. And I want to show you what a vine is like. When God prunes, he prunes in two seasons. He prunes in winter. In winter, the vine looks like this. So look, this is below ground. If you ever wondered what does a real vineyard look like, it's rows of this. The roots come up out of the ground, very erect. We'll talk about this. Spreads out, and then notice, the vineyard goes like this. It spreads out, and it offers the grapes just like this, right? Now, in the winter, right, there's two kinds of pruning. They prune in the winter. In the winter, the vine dresser will come and he'll clip a lot of these shoots. See, these little things are called shoots or canes, and he clips them because a lot of times there is a lot of death here. It's not alive, it's not productive, and it no longer has the capacity to bring forth a fruitful grapes. And what this speaks to us is that, look, sometimes we go through seasons of winter with the Lord. Sometimes there are seasons with God where you don't feel like you're fruitful, or you don't feel like things are great, and you don't feel like things are wonderful. A lot of people, they actually run away from, they can't handle winters. But can I tell you something? Winters are very powerful, because this is when God can cut stuff away from you. And when God is cutting away something that's dead, he's not thinking about what he's cutting. He's thinking about what he's growing. And what's very, very important, listen to this, okay? What's very, very important about winter seasons. Now, what does a winter season look like? It means that you don't feel like your life is fruitful. But I mean, just because you don't feel like your life is fruitful doesn't mean that you can't have a deep attachment to Jesus. As you grow in the Lord, even in winter seasons, you're still living off of your attachment to Christ. One of the things that winter seasons tell you is how much you really love the Lord. Because some people, when winter season hits, they get so discouraged and bent out of shape as if they don't have access to the Lord. And this is when we break off from God and we start chasing different things. I mean, nobody here's ever done that, but see, maybe you're in a winter season. Maybe you're not, maybe everything is not going great. And you know what? It's by design. If you belong to the Lord, how many know God is good all the time? All the time, God is good. And sometimes he allows a winter season to come. And during that season, he's clipping things away. The thing to do, look, when there's nothing else but God, surrender even more. When there's nothing else but God, attach to Jesus even more. And then watch how God makes you fruitful over time. But expect there will be winter seasons and he cuts. Now, in addition to the winter season, then when you're bearing fruit, once you start to actually bear fruit, one of the things that the vine dresser does is he starts to cut off even good fruit or what seems to be good fruit. So it's only the eyes of God or the master vine dresser can see what needs to be cut off. But here's the key. In premium winemaking, what they want is one cluster to one shoot. So here's the way it goes. He'll come along and he'll look at the vine and he'll say, okay, there's three things here, but I can see with my eyes that this one and this one, these are just energy suckers. Okay? So this thing, do you know there could be something that could seem to have life, but in the great plan of God for your life, it's just sucking energy from you. Or there could be a cluster here and a cluster there, and he can look at one of those clusters and say, this cluster here, this is kind of sick. And so you know what he does is he cuts it, he drops it to the ground, and he says, let that fall, let it decompose. It'll help the ground grow. You know, help more, it'll make the soil more healthy. But I'm cutting. And even though it looks good to the eye, it doesn't look good to God. So, are you ready for God to cut things in your life that don't look good to him? Because God will cut those things away, because he knows if he cuts those things away, then what's left is what is healthy and what he can really, really grow. Many, many Christians, when the pruning season comes, that's when they start running. But we have to know that every season of life is a season to say, I surrender more and more and more to Jesus. How many want to surrender more and more and more to Jesus? So he does this kind of double pruning of the vine. And now specifically, when we're talking about spiritually, what does he actually prune? And I want you to see this. Okay, here's a picture of an actual vine, right? This is from Northern California. This is a vine. And if you walk by here, right, and you see these clusters of grapes in your mind, for somebody to just say, cut that and drop it to the floor and keep going and cut and drop, you're like, what are you doing? You know, but how many know the vine dresser knows? And how many know the Father knows? Okay, now what is he actually cutting? Okay, let's get out of, I just want you to understand the illustration. They understood the illustration. You need to understand the illustration, right? But what does he actually cut? Here's what God cuts when he's pruning. Okay, he cuts attitudes, behaviors, activities, and relationships. So, and this is where the searching begins, okay? What does God cut? God cuts attitudes, He cuts behaviors, he cuts activities, and he cuts relationships. Part of becoming a fruitful person is that you lay open your heart and your mind, and you give God access to these things. You see? And like, you know, I was thinking about characters in the Bible. You see, some people are, they're a lot like Jonah. How many know who Jonah is in the Bible? Okay? So Jonah was a prophet. He had the bona fide call of God. He had the bona fide gifting of a prophet, right? When he prophesied, God, things happened. But Jonah was always in conflict with God's ways and God's heart. And so God tells Jonah, I want you to go preach to these people. And Jonah says no to God. You know, just because you have some kind of gift and some kind of calling doesn't mean you can't say no to God. You see? And what is it? It's like you could have a bad attitude, or you could have a bad habit, or you could have a wrong relationship that you don't want to let go, and you keep saying no to God. So Jonah says no to God. Some people have Jonah disease, right? They have like Jonah disease, and so because God loves you, right, he runs from God, and what happens? He gets thrown off of a ship in the middle of the sea. He ends up in the belly of a whale, and then after he's swallowed up 3 days in the belly of a whale, he gets vomited out. When he gets vomited out, could you imagine what 3 days in the belly of, imagine the intestinal juices of a whale on you for 3 days. You know, that brother was looking strange. But then he goes and he prophesies to Nineveh, and over 100,000 people get saved, right? And then he sits up on a mountain, and he didn't like the Ninevites. You see, if you're really going to be used by God, if you really want to be fruitful, just because you don't like something, that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it if God tells you to do it. So a surrendered servant of God says, here's my giftings, here's my call, here's my heart, here's my abilities, here's my thoughts. I give everything to you, and whatever you say, here I am, Lord, send me. But Jonah, what Jonah did is Jonah runs from God. Now he actually preaches. God moves in power, and Jonah still wasn't happy. He's sitting under a tree. God grows up this little thing, and then God burns it away. God had to even cut that away to try to reach Jonah, because Jonah was so stubborn in his own way that even though he got a whole book of the Bible, brothers and sisters, do you realize that what we know of Jonah's life was he lived a very unhappy life because he wouldn't become submissive to God? And so when God is cutting things away, God tries to cut away attitudes. He tries to cut away behaviors. He's trying to cut these things away. For example, like, let me give you a quick example, right? I think about this. So I've watched this over the years. We don't talk about this a ton. I mention it just enough. But can I tell you something? Right, I'm gonna just give you an observation, not just from the Bible, but just from my own life. I've watched people over the years, people who are given to gossip, criticism, judgmentalism, people who are like stubborn and not teachable, and who keep saying, nobody tells me what to do. I've watched people over the years, they just dry up. Because they won't give up an attitude, or they won't give up a behavior, or they just won't surrender to God. Pruning has so much to do with allowing the Holy Spirit to cut things away from your life. When we take communion, so I was talking about this on Sunday a little bit. When we take communion, part of what we're supposed to do is search our hearts. And when you search your hearts, you're searching your hearts and your Lord, and you're asking the Lord, Lord, do I have an attitude that is not pleasing to you? Is there an attitude that you want to cut away? You know, is there a group of people that I don't like? Is there someone that I have resentment towards or I have anger towards? Do I get so caught up with this issue of the world? Maybe it's politics. Maybe it's some kind of cultural thing. And God is saying, I want you to drop that. I don't want that in your spirit. Well, when we go to take communion, you're searching your heart. And you're saying, Lord, if you want to cut an attitude or a behavior or an activity, Lord, here I am. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. Cut away whatever needs to be cut away so that I can be made more fruitful. And so there are certain things that if they just hold on, I was thinking about America. I was thinking about changes in Christianity. Look at what the Proverbs say. I read this morning. Today's the 12th. I read this morning. Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. I could just hear my kids saying, Daddy, don't say stupid. When they're little, right? Proverbs 12:13. Evildoers are trapped by their sinful talk, and so the innocent escape. So many times we are asking God to make us fruitful, but we have these little practices and habits. I wanna plead with you, even as I've been seeking the Lord this week a lot, but I wanna plead with you. Look, when the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on something in your life, right? Maybe it has something to do with what you watch, maybe it has something to do with what you listen to. Maybe it has some kind of behavior, some kind of relationship. I plead with you, don't hold on to things that God is trying to cut away. Come on, how many know we gotta let the Lord cut those things away? Because to hold all of it on, to hold on to all of it, if we're so stubborn and we say, no, I want to hold on to this relationship, I want to hold on to this kind of, oh, this is my gift. I have seen, over the years, sometimes the most gifted people are the least fruitful. You know why? Because that gift, even though it came from God, it doesn't really belong to God. And so the pruning of God, he's like cutting away, cutting away, cutting away. Now let's break this down just a little bit more, okay? When God is cutting away, right? I want to apply this just a little bit more. He's thinking about several things that we can kind of come to tonight. Like, for example, like when he's saying, I got to cut this because it robs our energy. A lot of times it pertains to something like our time, right? There might be things that you and I are doing and it's just a time waster that is killing us. I hear this all the time. Like, for a while I'm giving myself up here, but I didn't know what doom scrolling was. Don't laugh. But doom scrolling is like you're just looking at social media or whatever. You're just looking, and you're just, it's just horrible what you're doing to your life, right? And you know what? It's a time waster. Nobody here ever wastes time, but sometimes, you know, And so can we get that? Is it stuck? I have a slide. Is there any way to push that? There it is. So look, I want to break this down and then we're going to take communion, right? So some things rob our energy. That speaks to time. Some things hinder our fruitfulness. That speaks to contagions or things that deplete you, things that can make you sick. And then some things diminish your impact, and that speaks to alignment with God's heart and principles. Let me give you a practical example. Okay, so let's take dating. Right? Some people actually need to start dating. That's it. You weren't expecting that one, were you? Gotcha. Right? Some people won't let go of a wound, and so you live closed. Right? Like you won't even have a friend. Meanwhile, God wants to bless you with fruitfulness, and you are closed off to God just because maybe you're upset with God because you were hurt way back when, and all of a sudden you're just angry at the whole world. You say, I'm going to just live like this for the rest of my life. You see? And you're wasting time. Because what you're really doing is you're holding on to a wound or you're holding on to a hurt that God wants to heal. God wants to cut that wound away. Right? Like, think about families. I'm going to move from dating for a second. Think about families that the grudge, there's this endless grudge that you won't let go. And because of that endless grudge, you're going to be like this. You're wasting time. You see, but let's stick with dating, right? So some people need to start dating. Right? Stop being afraid. God can give you a good family. God can bless you. God can do all kinds of things if you do it God's way. Somebody say amen. But some people need to stop dating. You're dating the wrong person. Break up with them now in the name of Jesus. They could send me a keyboard player in a moment here. Try to soften this. I have to tell you. So, you know, it's interesting because just because our church gets bigger, right, it doesn't mean that we pastors, we don't hurt over the bad choices that people make. You know? I have the face of a woman who was coming to our church like probably 12 years ago. And she used to come to the church and she was with this guy and the guy did not love the Lord. And like everybody who had two cents of God would say, that's not good for you. You know, she just couldn't let it go. But she could. You see? And then as a pastor, you know, the amazing thing is as a pastor, we see when you're a pastor, you are on the top and bottom 5% of people's lives, for the most part. You move in like the disasters. And when the baby's born and the people get married, and so you're kind of looped in for the most part. And I mean, in between, but every day somebody else is 5%, you know. So we're pretty busy around here. May not be your 5% today, but it is somebody else's. That's the way it goes. So the crazy thing is, every time I talk to the young lady who did give up the guy, and every time I see the fruitfulness of her life, I can't help but think, about the one who didn't have enough faith and trust in the Lord to say, go ahead and cut it away. I'm going to tell you right now, if there is something that you can't give up for God, that's idolatry. We should be able to give up anything and everything if the Lord asks for it. Did not Abraham even say, give me your son. He wasn't going to take him, but he said, give me your son. He said, here he is, Lord. And God gave him as many sons. Like, when God cuts something away from your life, we tend to act like somehow we're going to miss out. You know, FOMO. You know, we're going to miss out when what God is doing is he's making room. He's getting those things that make you sick. How many want those things that make you sick out of your life? So, it's crazy because it applies in so many different ways. You know, some people should be dating, some people shouldn't be dating. You know, and then some people need to date the right way. Like, if you're going to date, make sure that your dating is aligned with God's heart and God's principles. You see? Because if you do it God's way, if it's aligned with God's way and God's principles, then you're going to be blessed and fruitful. And so all the time, the Holy Spirit is working on us. Come on, somebody say, work on me, Jesus. He's working on your thoughts. You know, he's working on the way you feel about things. You know, there's a brother who is in ministry today, was here like from day one. Just, I'm not going to say his name, but I remember he fell in love with a girl, and everybody was like, I don't think this girl is good for you, and there were very specific reasons why. And then finally, he was about to get married, and his brother just confronted him, and he yielded. And today, he's got kids, he's so blessed, he's in ministry and all that. Do you realize, whatever it is, right? Whatever it is, it could be your career. This is, I'm not just talking about, so spiritual things, relational life things, and even career things. You know? It's like some people, they want a great career, but they're not investing time correctly, and the Lord is coaching you. Do you know the Holy Spirit coaches about everything? You know? Because he wants you to, he says, that man prospers. Whatever he does prospers. God wants to prosper you, but you've got to yield to the coaching of the Holy Spirit. You got to say, God says, cut this out and do this. But anyway, getting back to that guy, like to see him become so fruitful, brothers and sisters, it is impossible to have a fruitful life if God doesn't prune you. In other words, everybody gets pruned by God. He prunes us as a husband. He prunes us as a wife. He prunes us as leaders. He prunes us as friends. He prunes us in every single way, and what he's doing is he's cutting things away that are going to hinder you, your and my fruitfulness. If we had time, I could tell you 20 things. You know, I became a lead pastor when I was 28 years old. And by the third year there, right, I used to tell people, they say, man, you start pastoring a church so young, it was a larger church. And then you say, so what's it like to pastor a larger church? And I used to say, You know what? It's funny because when you start pastoring, you pastor the people and the people pastor you. I made so many mistakes as a pastor. Made so many mistakes. You know, we all make mistakes. But the key factor for today is to say, Lord, whatever you want to cut, here I am. Cut me. Cut away sensual practices. Cut away ungodly conversations. You know, cut away backstabbing. Cut away a stubborn spirit. We're going to take communion in a minute, but you know, as I was preparing today, sometimes when you prepare a message, it's really strong inside of you. And when I first got saved, I remember going to Times Square Church. Dave Wilkerson was preaching at the time. And if you know anything about Dave Wilkerson, he's gotten to be home, great man of God. But every once in a while, Brother Dave could preach fire and brimstone, man. So I went to the church on a Sunday night, and he preached such fire and brimstone. I was a baby Christian. I was with my buddy, and when we left, I said, dude, I'm so nervous and shaken, I can't even go home. Like, you got to hang out with me for 2 more hours. Right? And when I was preparing the message, you know, something comes, it came heavy. I was like, look, I was like, Jesus, I don't want to be Dave Wilkerson tonight. Not on that one, right? So I'm trying to be soft, but can I tell you something, right? You got to say, search me, God. You have an obligation. If you really want a fruitful life, you have an obligation to say, God, search me. Here I am. Cut something away from me. And it's arrogant. And it's foolish to think that you don't need God to cut things away from your life. Okay? It's an arrogant thing to think that you've finished learning all of the lessons. You have not finished learning all of the lessons that there are to learn. Nobody does. Could somebody say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So there are areas of stubbornness that God wants to cut away. There are areas of unholiness that God wants to cut away. And in the prayer meeting, this is a perfect time. How many people got that little communion cup? You got it? Okay. So this is a perfect time for us to say, Lord, here I am. I put my gifting, on the table. I put my dreams on the table. I put my attitudes on the table. Whenever you take communion, you have to be willing to say, I put my pain on the table. Today, God wants trauma to be released. The worst thing that you want is for your trauma to become something that you hold on to when God is asking you to release it. And I don't say that without a compassion. But let me tell you, when God trims out that vine is ready to bear fruit and fruit that will last. But it all comes through surrender.